Though we pray, Heavenly Father, again we want to praise and thank you for your love toward us, that you also shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, to give us the desire toward you, even your desire toward us, making it a marriage, a real spiritual union. And we're happy today that what has been supplied by you to us, we are very grateful for it, Lord, and offer it back to you so that we will be of one accord, one heart, one mind, one bread, indissoluble. We look to you, Father, for your blessing upon this word, the help which we need from heaven, and we pray you'll glorify your name by doing so for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, don't forget that we mentioned that if you're missing back tapes up to and including paradox number one, they'll be filled in as quickly as they can. Others will take time. And, of course, tapes are available for this message this morning. And I don't think we ever asked how many want them. At least Brother Evans sort of shortchanged as to whether he has enough for oversupply or what. How many want to get a tape of this morning, if possible? Yeah, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You want 1, 2. There's about 14 tapes. That'd be about 2-3 runs, won't it? Without running back and forth. Okay, that's fine then. We know you might as well make 15. I don't think I counted Dave there. Now, next Sunday, of course, is communion, foot washing. That's not a long weekend, is it? No, well, who all's coming, that's their business. But we will have foot washing Saturday night then, and won't be having a service then on this Wednesday. So, all right, then Sunday morning we'll likely jolted up a few steps, maybe get Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock. All right. Now, let's go into the message. And last Sunday, we were in the book of Ephesians, and we are again today. And as we were closing off the message, we were noting that Ephesians 1:13 and 14 was not only the token or guarantee of our physical resurrection, but that the same Holy Spirit at the same time made us members of a bride body, according to 1 Corinthians 12, which was according to predestination by foreknowledge. Now, you understand exactly what I mean by that. That it tells us here in the book of Ephesians that we were chosen in Him according to God's own choosing, and before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy with and before Him without blame. That was the fact of each individual, was to have that particular status, and that was predestinated to him, so it means there's not one that's not going to have it that's in that foreknowledge. Also, you will notice that this was according to the good pleasure of His will. It does not have anything to do with us except as being the receptacles and the part of the manifestation of foreknowledge. It was to the praise of the glory of His grace, which showed that this people would be a fallen people who would be redeemed back, that redemption would be through the blood. And once more, that was according to grace, that you have nothing to do with it. You are a recipient, therefore, of it all. And this shows the wisdom and the prudence of God that abounds toward us, that overflows toward us. And also, Paul tells us that we have been privileged to be made privy to this which God has ordained from before the foundation of the world, that we know it. And we are assured that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, God will gather together in one all things in Christ, in other words, which came by that redemption, the foreknowledge, which are in heaven and earth, even at this time and the future to come, because this was written 2,000 years ago. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, and we were predestinated to it again. And you will notice this is the counsel according to His own will. And everything you will notice here is by foreknowledge, exactly as God wanted it. And we have not been pawns, as many people think, but we have been purposely and purposefully set there, not as pawns, but as vessels unto His glory and His grace. So then, He tells us that God is doing all this according to His will, and every single time it tells you that we are adding to God because it's to the praise of the glory of His grace. And this addition is not something we can do in the materialistic. but it is something that lies in the spiritual, that we are here, and in love, God is working out His mercy and all these wonderful attributes in us, and it's literally adding to God, because as Brother Branham shows, it gives God the ability to show forth His attributes. As Irenaeus said, God being a Savior, necessary to predestinate a sinner and to give God a reason and purpose of being. Then it says, though in tapering off this great heavenly view of eternities in a resume, encapsulated form, He said that we should be to the praise His glory who first hoped in Him. And you'll notice in there, in whom we hoped. In other words, we became a part of this earnest expectation of God. Now remember, God has His own expectation. God has His own faith. So we are invited to enter into the expectation and the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Which simply means that you are invited to partake of it. Even as it says, be ye perfect, is not something that you're supposed to do and accomplish. It's something that you say, thank you, Lord, for doing it for me. And you are a recipient of grace by being gracious. But most people are not gracious. They fall in the same trap of the devil. They're so lifted up with pride. Amen. Most people don't realize the Bible said by reason of pride, Satan fell. They think of something else. It was by reason of pride that he fell. She thought she was getting somewhere up beyond Adam. Oh, yeah, she was very lifted up. And the Eve today, which is the church, is still lifted up. The genuine Eve, of course, understands her position. Then it says, in whom you trust, hope, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment of the token of your redemption of your body, which means you will therefore be entirely redeemed, and in the threefold or the triune portion of you, which is body, soul, and spirit. All right. So then we saw also with this that there was a placing of the bride as to particular members into a body or a group which would be called the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which later on would be identified as the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, which later on would be identified as the New Jerusalem. So there was what we saw, a predestination within a predestination. We saw an unfolding, the same as Elohim is the great unfolder of Himself, and He started way back there with the understanding. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God, starting the great unfolding. So there was an unfolding, and is an unfolding for 6,000 years, and we're coming now to the end of the unfolding, which lies in the great drama of humans being redeemed upon earth, which will soon take its face to the redeemed, which will inhabit the earth for 1,000 years, which will then progress further as the bride sits with the groom, if past the honeymoon, into the throne. And there will be the judgment. From there will be the moving up and the catching up into the eternal heavens, while there's a new heavens and an earth made. Then we come back to that, and we begin to become a part of the New Jerusalem, which is a further unfolding. So there's predestination within predestination within predestination, the same as Elohim is within Elohim within Elohim. And we see it unfolding here, the judge and all these things, which is so fantastic. And we know that we're a part of it because we are, as it were, little Messiahs, which puts us in the position of being little Elohims, little Word, little Logos, and so on, very little. But just the same, it is there. Because as it is so truly said that a thimble full of ocean water is just the same as the vast oceans themselves, so we in our uniqueness have the uniqueness of Almighty God. All right. So we see this bride body being made up according to 1 Corinthians 12. Now, we will go into Ephesians 4, 4 to 16, which is what we are speaking from the Spirit of God in the book of Ephesians, as well as we read in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11, which 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11, we will read first. Then we'll go back, because it's better I do it this way. All right. Beginning then at the fourth verse, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Now, this tells you that there is nothing completely stereotyped within the things of God.
because God chooses to do how He wishes to do with what is His to do with. See? And that's why John the Baptist could have the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, and you and I don't get it that way. See? That's why God can do what He wants. He can have the Jews under the fifth seal, having denied the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people sure batted their eyes when the Church Age book came out. That wasn't the second resurrection. There'd be those coming up according to Matthew 25 and according to various scripture that Brother Branham gave us that would enter into eternal life. And right away it caused everybody to raise eyebrows. Becky went to her dad and said, "Well, Daddy, can anybody go to heaven without being born again?" He said, "No, who said so?" He said, "Lee Dale said so." That's not what the book said. I quoted the prophet and nobody was getting it. Now look, it is time to let your own thinking go and understand this is the program of God. God has it all made up for His honor and for His glory, but we are allowed to share in it, that we should be to His praise. And what higher function would that be to know that the aspirations of man have been completely met once for all and will never deviate? What more do you want? For God's sake, answer me. What more do you want? You're sitting here this morning crying. Your hearts are looking out somewhere across the vast field of eternity. And you're saying, "Oh, God, somewhere, somehow, you've already got it in the embryo form, in the potential form today, being formed all around us, and people wonder what's going on." Amen. Don't understand Elohim, don't understand changes. It's only sitting here this morning, understand for the first time what it means that no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly right. You can't understand Lord from Lord. I'll read it just to show you how these things form in the mind and how they form in the heart. Now listen, Peter speaking at Pentecost, he said here, "Therefore being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promised Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David himself was not ascended to heavens, but he saith himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool.' Therefore, let the whole of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." The Bible says that God made Him Lord and Christ. That puts Him on the same level with Almighty God. That puts Him there where He said, "You call me Master and Lord, and so you do well," which means teacher. and Master, just like it means in the Bible, Elohim. Or Jehovah, it's the same one, showing the great privilege. And if you don't understand the word, you'll make two gods, you'll make three gods. You'll end up like a preacher saying, "Lee, God preaches two gods." I don't preach two gods. Let me tell you, God hath made Him both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
Let's understand the scripture. We're not fooling. Churches down the road can fool, but not this church.
Amen.
I'm not obligated down the road. I'm obligated here. Now listen, God revealing Himself, God showing Himself, bringing the whole thing out. That's why when you understand this by the Holy Ghost, you understand your bride.
Amen.
You're Mrs. Jesus, that's not Mrs. William Branham. Right. Mrs. Jesus is a composite membership, washed in the blood of the Lamb, full of the Holy Ghost, putting aside childish things and growing up in Almighty God, exercising not a privilege unto some dominion, but unto Him who has all dominion, all honor and glory, whose kingdom is here now, for the King of Glory is here. Oh yeah. You bet He is. Before that great I Am ever had one logos, as it were, one formation go out of Him, that same one is here. Veiled in a pillar of fire, maybe hidden to your eyes and mine, but the prophet said, "I tell you by vision He is here." When was He here this way? He's always been here, but not in this way. There again, they fail to understand. The Holy Spirit coming up, that's their business, not mine. I'm just called to teach you the teaching. Now, let's go over here and see this in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Four to 16. "There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism." Now, "and one God and Father." Well, then who's the Lord there? Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Unless you've got a revelation, you can't get it.
Right.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they say, "That's God." That is not God. God cannot be born.
Right.
God cannot die.
Right.
But He can do it in a unique and particular way. No man can figure out. But when you understand and begin to see that Lamb from behind the throne coming and taking the book out of the hands of Revelation chapter 5 and 1, ripping the seals off, placing it back, Revelation 5 and 1 coming down, Revelation 10 and 1, The Lamb crawling on the throne and telling you and me, there's a voice coming down telling it, I have set upon my Father's throne overcome. You bet he said, I'll let you come and sit in my throne with me now. Never could happen this hour. The unveiling of the mighty God, Elohim in our midst. Here's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's not one baptism to reborn, one baptism to get put in the body, one baptism in the bride. It's one baptism, period, whereby you are born again, which the born-again experience is what starts you into the series of predestinations until you're bride and sit with Him. Yep. Not only down here in the millennium, but on the throne, at the white throne, and then beneath His throne there in New Jerusalem, to the praise of the glory of His grace. You'll understand it's grace and so will I at that time. And one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all, which lets you know there's one Creator. Yep. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore He said, when He ascended on high, led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now He that ascended, what is it? But He also descended first to the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all in all. Now you know that wasn't the body of Jesus Christ, except in a certain way, the pillar of fire. We know that's God coming back, the same one that was here. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He came back, and notice what He did in this coming back. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers to perfect the saints. No, we never did finish in 1 Corinthians 12, but that's where to go back to it. And we would India. Here, now these manifestations, they're there. People don't understand how God moves through a body and all the various ways God manifests Himself, the different understandings, but it's all God. Now, verse 12. For as the body is one of many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. By one Spirit we're baptized into one body, whether Jew or Gentile, bond or free, made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Then he goes on to tell you why you must never, ever get away from that correct and wonderful understanding. Now, with that, we're going to go to Romans, the 12th chapter. And in Romans 12, verses 3 to 8, it says, for I say to the grace given unto me every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly, not to think, but to think, see, there's pride again. Pride and reasoning coming in. To think soberly, according as God had dealt him the measure of every man, the measure of faith. Nobody's unique, except Christ. For as we have many members in one body, all members not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one of another. Now listen, isolationism is wrong. I've stuck my neck out in this church on the grounds of word and love. Are you following me, people? I'm looking you all in the eye this morning, because some of you are not. I've stuck my neck out. You resolve your differences.
Amen.
I don't have time for this deacon, that deacon, or this song leader, that song leader, this in the pew, or that in the pew, nor God has time.
Amen. That's right.
To be embroiled in little foolish things, little petty things.
Amen.
No time. If I can treat everyone as brothers and sisters, love all of you. I've done my best to set an example. Then you get your examples and your houses in order.
Amen.
It's high time. That's right. We're getting out of here. Somebody's getting out of here. I'm getting out of here by the grace of God, because I'm tired of nonsense. I don't want to bust out anything, but let's get it over with. Dogmatism doesn't work. The Spirit of God works. You live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
So we ought to lay down our lives for each other. See? I'm not a very good example, but neither am I a rotten example. See? All these things we taught about, we must understand. Now listen, members of one another. If we can afford to hurt one another, then let's get knives like the Roman Catholics and slash ourselves. Come on.
Right, amen.
Bring in the dried piece. Gravel up there. Chad, get us some gravel. I'll get him walking, put him in the shoes, let him walk. Gravel in the shoes. We want that.
See? Get everything out of every heart. There's too much at stake. There's far too much at stake. Somebody wants something, let him have it. When there's misunderstandings, go the extra mile. I'd pay prices you don't know anything about. No, that's right. You say, well, Lee, there's one thing about you. You're sharp-tempered. You bet I am. Just find me another fault. Yeah, I'm quick. I fussed anybody, just let you know. Members one of another. Hey? Don't have the same office, but they got the same care. Having then gifts differing according to grace. That's given to us. Now notice the grace is given. Every office carries the grace that you can bear it through. Prophecy will prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Ministry, wait in the ministry. Teaching on teaching, exhortation. He that goes in exhortation. He that giveth with simplicity. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, we notice carefully here. And this, everything I'm saying, thrown in even on the tangential, is relevant to this message. And don't think it's not. It's relevant. Otherwise, I wouldn't bring it in. Now, notice Romans 12, 6 and 7. If you prophesy, you have that proportion of faith, or don't prophesy. This is not something people work up in Pentecostal meetings where the anointing is over the preacher and over the congregation, where they feel they can get hooped up and zero in. This is something you have. When I've stood there not whumped up about anything, and suddenly know, sure as you're sitting here, and I'm standing out in my mouth and I talk, came right to pass. Or shut up. It's predictive. That's right. If you have a gift of prophecy, you'll have the faith for it. All right, listen. It's the same thing in every gift. If there's a ministry, you will have the faith for it, and it'll be on target. If you're in teaching, it'll be on target. If you're in exhortation, it'll be on target. If you're giving, it'll be on target. If you're ruling, it'll be on target. If you're showing mercy, it'll be on target. There isn't one who doesn't have faith, and faith is a revelation. That's the way my body is. There is an innate intelligence within the body that has a common and a mutual direction wherein every member is a part of it. Then therefore the major thought of every congregation should be pulling together for a unity if it means I go down or my family goes down or my pride goes down or anything else goes down. I'm beginning to understand what Brother Branham said, if it skins you, get it out in the open and get it out of the way. And I feel more and more that way. Let love therefore be without hypocrisy. Not covering over with words or self-justification. Self-justification not worth a hoot. Self-correction is worth $1 billion. We're justified through the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're also corrected by the same one. All right, we notice carefully here by adding together Ephesians 4, 4 to 16 and Romans 12, 3 to 8 with 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11, wherein prophecy is mentioned and also teaching. We find that the bride possesses many gifts which are in her through men, which gifts work, and all are somehow gifted, though the evidence may not appear or be supernatural as to phenomenon. Now I'm going to go over that so you'll understand what I'm saying. These gifts are possessed in the bride. Some local, which is never a bride. It's a church. No way. There's no way any church is going to have pure bride. It could have pure wise foolish virgin and foolish virgin. There could be not one person missing in a congregation. And there could be everybody missing, preacher on down.
So let's not misunderstand ourselves. Let's not be fearful. Let's just face the issue. I find when you face the issue, that's when things begin to fall into line. So we face the issue. This will not necessarily be a local church, though it will apply to a degree in a local church. As Brother Branham said, all nine gifts which are supernatural manifestations, so on, in 1 Corinthians 12 could be in the church. But you wouldn't have every one of the fivefold ministry. You wouldn't have every one of the others. So all right, we're looking at this thing. We're looking at the fact that the bride possesses many gifts. The church possesses many gifts, which are in her through men in which the gifts are working, which is through the people. Every woman, man, and child is truly born again and have that. All right. Now, all are somehow gifted by God. When I say somehow gifted, I'm with Irenaeus. Irenaeus said there's hundreds of gifts in the body of Christ. Because when you begin to read Romans here, where do you find any place else in Scripture? Or ministry. He that ministers, wait in his ministry. He that exhorts, wait in exhortation. He that gives with simplicity. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. That opens the door to hundreds. That opens the door to the Scripture that said, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Let there be a manifestation. All right. All of it will not appear to be supernatural as per phenomenal manifestation, because the manifestation will not necessarily be called phenomenal. It'll be just natural. And if the church had ever understood the gifts, so called in 1 Corinthians 12, which are those nine paramount ones, which you all know, starting with tongues, ending up with miracles, you would find that it'll be very natural amongst us, and there would not be any tremendous, what you might say, deference accorded to it, because you know from whence it comes. And the deference is back on God. That would take away from the membership feeling, oh my, look at me. Oh, listen, just one time any woman ever is known to speak in tongues, and somebody standing there understands that tongue from his own native ability by learning, and somebody over there interprets that tongues, and it's right. Oh, you watch those two people puff up in pride. Why, a toad full of buckshot wouldn't look half that good.
Amen.
Quoting the prophet William Branham, so I'm on safe ground. But notice a great disparity between 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4. Now let's read Ephesians 4 and begin to understand there's a tremendous difference with what the Holy Spirit himself, Elohim, is doing in a bride. There's a tremendous difference. Now let's watch it. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And we're now reading, I read by that fourth, reading verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. All right? Just hold your finger there and let me read in Romans, the 12th chapter. Again, for I say through the grace given unto me, that every man that's among you, not to think yourself more highly ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. You'll see that there are two things mentioned there, faith and grace. So therefore, through grace, God gave it, and by grace, we receive it, and through faith, it is manifested. Because when you deal in faith, my brother, my sister, it is not you doing it, it is you believing that God is going to do it through you. Or in you, in this particular case. All right, we're reading. This common denominator is in the whole bride, the whole church. And this seems, as I read over here, and it is, in Romans 12, the third verse, the same sentiment. Something in there that is common in its measure of application and performance. I hope you caught that, because I'm weighing my words. Now, however, the value, the reason are different, because there are two sets of values and two sets of reasons. And the placing of one by the same Holy Spirit that places everybody. I'm talking now of the application of principles, not the overall picture of gifts, but what is found in Ephesians as in contradistinction to what is set forth in Corinthians. So I read it. Now, he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. That's not tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, and faith, and healing, and miracles, and so on. No, it's not. This is different. Now notice, what they are for. They are to bring the bride to perfection, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about, with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but holding the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, and compacted, by that which every joint supplies. Now this is the verse where Brother Branham said, the Holy Spirit comes up through the body. He tells you it comes down from headship, comes up from the, in the church, back again to headship. I don't know if you see that. It's not hard. It's not hard, brother, sister. Well, we'll take a little time. I hope we, if we don't get out of here, well, we'll get out of here if I quit in the middle of it. Well, we already got it nicely lined up here. All right, look. Here we have here Almighty God. Let's put him up here in a circle. Under here we're going to put a pyramid. It's like so. Everything that was in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is really back here behind the throne. Everything that was in here when he was down here in a human body, you'll notice God is now sending down through the Word by the Holy Spirit. Now, every age there's a measure, one measure. The next, and the next, and the next, and the next, till you get to seven. And at seven it runs out. There's no more Holy Spirit. There's no more Word. It's over. Then what do you, you're back to this, what it was. Now then, what was poured in to empty this? See? Where is it now? It's all back here. See, what it's done, it's come up through the body. Notice, came down, down, came up, up, up. Because when it's all poured in, there's nothing left. There's no more coming down. So that's how you have him coming up through a body. But that's how you have him coming down. It's not difficult to understand because the Word of God does not get poured in the junk heap. It doesn't get left somewhere. It's just a measure of the Word. And because of him, in letter form, manifested through the conduit of Word in a physical form by the Spirit, it's still God. Now it's bent. Why? Because man's out. God takes his man, but not the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? So now you're back to headship. All right. Now, the whole body fitly joined together, effectually working in every measure, every part, makes increase of the body, of the edifying of itself in love. Now it tells you right there then, in the predestination of God, the bride is going to go a certain way, period. I don't care what anybody says. Wise virgin. The foolish are going to go a certain way, period. And the further economy of God, the reprobates are going to go a certain way. Now the Jews which are not foolish, virgin, or wise, their days are over. They will go a certain way. And God will bring the whole thing together. And there is no miss, and nothing which is remiss here. Now notice, Ephesians 4 and 11. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. This is a five-fold ministry that helps bring the bride to perfection, whereas 1 Corinthians 12 can bring both confusion and damnation. Okay? Sit up and take notice. I'm sorry, but this is just the way it is. You say, just a minute. Don't just a minute me. I've got the Word of God and what the Holy Spirit's doing. I've got the Word and what the Holy Spirit's doing in the church. I've got the word on where you look primarily for the outworking of the Holy Spirit to inwork you to get you there in that bride. And you're going to get it through a five-fold ministry.
Amen.
And we'll talk about where Paul fits in. There's a part yet beyond it after a little while. But over here we find some things in 1 Corinthians, beginning in 1 Corinthians 14. Now my treatise, my thesis was this. One outpouring, or rather, not outpouring, but one placing in a bride, membership-wise, and what's contingent upon that can bring confusion and damnation. We begin to read in 1 Corinthians 14. Follow after love. First verse. Desire spiritual gifts. Rather you may prophesy. He that speaks in unknown tongues speaks not unto men but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Now that means that nobody understands him, unless it just happens that somebody's there that understands the language. And that could happen. Then that case is prophecy. He that prophesies speaketh unto edification, exhortation, comfort. He that speaks in unknown tongue edifies himself. He that speaks, prophesies edifies the church. Hopefully, if it's prophecy. And if it's real prophecy, it will. I will you all speak with tongues rather you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesied, and he that speak with tongues have to interpret, that the church may receive edification. Now then, what is the object of anybody having any gift in the church? These gifts here, though they can lead you astray under wrong management, and bring about wrong things, are not meant to. They will, in their measure, complementarily and supplementarily add to the fivefold, because it says right here, the church will be edified. But the edification is a different kind of edification with a different status. It will never bring you to the doctrine. Can't do it. Can lead you plumb off it. Well, let's keep reading. I would you all speak with tongues rather you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesied, and he speak with tongues except you interpret, the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what should a prophecy except I speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? Now, he's telling you about edification. And that's the gist of the whole thing. The Holy Spirit gives you your justification, your rebirth, your sealing, and positioning. And in there, you will grow. Now, watch it. There can be, he said, except that come by a revelation, that's apocalypse, by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine. Now, they're all in there. You notice where the emphasis lies. Even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except to give a distinction sounds, how should we know what is pipe or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who should prepare himself to battle? So likewise, except ye utter by the tongue words, ye to be understood, how shall we know what is spoken? For ye shall speak to the air, into the air. There are, may be so many kinds of voice in the world, none without signification. Signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh the barbarian. He that speaks shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, forasmuch as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Now, Pentecost never knew this, and 90% don't know this, or they wouldn't infringe upon the rights of a fivefold ministry through interjecting this.
Right.
They'd keep it where it belongs. I say, hey, Foot, start thinking for me. Hey, Foot, you're down there in the ground and can see all these things. Now, Foot, I tell you what you do. You direct me. Oh, he said, shut up, stupid jerk. What are your eyes and brains for? That's exactly what my body would say. My body wouldn't tolerate this hog so harsh that's called spirituality in the church. Now my feet certainly can edify. But stub my toe in a rock. Aha! I learn in a hurry, don't stub your toe in a rock. You know what's there. Learn a little bit too late, but you learn anyway. So that's the way it is, the toe against the eye, something like this is here. Now, see, look for the edifying. Wherefore he speaks in an unknown tongue, pray he may interpret. But praying in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. Understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I'll pray at the spirit, pray at the understanding also. Sing in the spirit, sing at the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless the spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen? If thy giving of thanks, seeing understands not what thou sayest. Now you can say, see, that this is not without merit. It is with merit if it's kept within the confines that God placed it. See? For thou verily givest thank well, but the other's not edified. I thank God to speak with tongues more than y'all. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words of understanding by my voice that might teach others also than 10,000 words in unknown tongue. So therefore in the church, this should not be going on. No, wait. The fivefold ministry runs the church.
Amen.
This has to do something else. That's why for years and years people have believed in an isolated believers meeting the way Brother Branham wanted to put in order, but they wouldn't listen to it. Well, they said, oh, no, we can't do that because see, we like this, all this glory and honor we get by being out here in the audience. That's what it amounted to. Now, it's not all bad. I'll get into that. In the law, it's written with men of other tongues, and others, I speak to people, yet for all that they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but them that believe not. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now, he tells you right here that tongues can be, in certain instances, a sign against the unbeliever. Now, verse 23, if therefore the whole church come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, are coming those unlearned or unbelievers, will not say you're mad. If all prophesy to come in one, believe with not or unlearned, he is convinced of all, he judged of all. Thus seeks the heart and made manifest, you'll fall down the face and worship God and report that God's in the truth. Now, that's the church with the thing in operation. How is it then, brethren, when you come together and have the psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation? That all things are identified. Now, when they came together, they had that, and that would have been fine, but it was out of order. It took the place, evidently, of a fivefold ministry, or God in its way. Now, if any man speak in unknown tongue, by two or three, that by course let one interpret. Should be no interpreter, let him keep silence the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. What kind of a service would that be, if that wasn't strictly a believer's meeting? If anything be revealed to another sits by, let the first hold his peace. He may prophesy one by one. All may learn and all be comforted. And the spirits of prophets are subject to the prophets. And notice that right there. You can turn it on, you can turn it off.
Amen.
And it's by the measure of grace. And these people evidently know something that people today don't know. See? Brother Branham tried to get us that place and we wouldn't do it, so therefore we had to bypass it. You think maybe one reason we've been wandering all these years because the church never went with Brother Branham in that little room and got things straightened out? Remember when Israel never faced the task of entering in by faith, they wandered for 40 years. Now we've got a Pentecostal voodooism almost. Pardon the expression, but you know what I'm talking about. A never land. That's amongst us and amongst many people, and it shouldn't be there. Now, for God's not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all church the saints. Let women keep silence, the church not been there to speak. Commanded to be under law, obedience is all said the law. If they'll learn anything, ask husband at home, sustain a woman to speak in the church. What came the word of God up from you, came it unto you only. If any man think this out to be a proper spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you, the commandments of the Lord. Now, here's a man, evidently, is above the whole church. He is a virtual pope.
Amen.
A virtual vicar of Jesus Christ would prove that he is. This man here stood just the same as God stands. And he said, to raise your voice against me is to raise your voice against God. To disobey me is to disobey God. To not hear me is to not hear God. To hear me and to believe and to obey me is God. What are you going to do something like that? Let's return to the land. He said, the word of God come out, he came to you only. Now he said, if you think you're a prophet or spiritual, that's born again or an actual prophet, you must acknowledge that the things that I write, nobody else writes, are the commandments of God, because he's the apostle and the teacher of the Gentiles. And if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. He said, right here, he said, you're just simply ignorant of spiritual things, if you don't believe. He said, wherefore, brethren, come to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, I said that these gifts here could bring condemnation and confusion just the same as a false fivefold ministry. because there's definitely a false signpost. There are false shepherds or pastors. There are false prophets. There are false apostles. There are false teachers. There are... That's all. What more do you want? They're all in the Old Testament. They're all there. See? Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastor evangelists, false evangelists, preaching another gospel. Their children are wrong seed, serpent seed, bastards of the Word of God. Show everything in the book. Everything, but they can't stay with the Word because they're not Word born. No way. They're false, off the Word. You know them by their fruits. What kind of fruits are you going to talk about? Word fruits. See? Verse 21, listen to it. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, and in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, men who come to say, Lord, Lord, have not prophesied in thy name. That's exactly what they're supposed to do, but not them. My name, thy name, cast out devils, are supposed to do that. And thy name, done what of works, are supposed to do that. And he'll say, I depart me, I never knew you. Why? Because they went off the one thing that really counted. A word that comes from a preordained people that have a predestination beyond the other preordained.
Amen. Right.
People don't want authority. Or there's always somebody trying to grab it. Better just sit back and don't have any. Why do you think I've been the way I've been all these years? Had any man challenged me that I was not the logical man to step forward after Brother Branham's death, I'll call him a liar right in his teeth because he knows it. And I step forward for nobody, and I'll step forward for nobody. I step back. That's what you're supposed to do. If he's going to get preeminence and he doesn't share it, he delegates, though. He delegates authority. When God made him both Lord and Christ, he looked down and said, I'm going to have a ministry. I'm going to have a bride. I'm going to have everyone equally predestinated within the basic predestination. There isn't one without the measure of grace and the measure of faith which is proper for them. There's not one that's a member of each other. They're all right in there. But listen, there's a gradation. Just like the body has. He said, just like I have. God, Jesus Christ, bride, man, woman, children. There's a gradation. All right. We read it. Matthew 24:24. Look at that again. For there shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets, false anointed, untrue to the word, signs and wonders, and at the end time greater than ever. They'll deceive the very elect if we're possible. They won't. Behold, I told you before, we're about over in Matthew 15. Now listen, notice also that the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 can evidently take the people off the word when used in a wrong manner, as we read in 1 Corinthians 14:32-40. Now, people always want something. When it comes to God, they're not content to deal with God as God sets forth dealings with God. That's why Pentecost beat themselves to death with gifts. They never could take the word. They never will take the word. You got to get out. All right, now listen. 32. It says, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That's not Paul. That's not Paul and William Branham. That's ordinary fivefold ministry prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So nobody can say, well, God made me do it. And it turns out a fiasco. Or a confusion. Let the women keep silence in the churches. Not permitted for them to speak. Commanded to be under obedience, as says the law. If they learn anything, they'll ask husbands at home. Shame for them to speak in the church. Now listen, what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? You that have a fivefold ministry and a whole bunch of gifts. Now the answer is no. Never came to the church and out of the church. Pardon me, never came out of the church. It came only to the church. Now, what we see here, which we just read, in no wise and nowhere is it like Ephesians 4, 12 to 16. Now watch what he says over here. In one place there's confusion. In one place there's trouble. But over here there isn't. Now, in reading, 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Now this is setting offices in the church, members with gifts. The same as over here, members with gifts. But notice the difference. This perfects the church, works the ministry, edifies the body of Christ, brings us in unity of faith, even the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. No more tossed to and fro. No more carried about. No more fooled any longer. It's all over. They couldn't fool you if they tried. You couldn't get led astray if somebody tried. You haven't got it within you or without Saturday. In other words, you're sealed in lock, stock, and barrel at a certain time. A certain time at the end time, when I showed you everything up here is poured into here. And what's poured in here finally comes back here. It's formed the perfect man. The finished man. The corporate body. The mystical union. Headship is here. See? How in the world you're going to get messed up under those conditions? Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 30. Now, we are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Then he stops numbering. The fourth would be evangelist, the fifth would be pastor. Then sixth by permission, elders, and seventh by permission, deacons. Because there's got to be sevens. But they're allowed to make up the seven, but that's where the church can go haywire. Because it says exhort, I will deal with that in a minute. Now, then after that, miracles, not numbered. Then gifts of healing, not numbered. Then helps, governments, diversities. Of tongues and so on. That's the lowest one on the totem pole. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? No, sir. But they're going to be somewhere in the bride. Somewhere in the church. There's going to be true, there's going to be false. And there's going to be those that don't know how to use the things of God correctly. Alright, now, from what I have read, we see the damage that can be done by one set of gifts in contradistinction to the other set. So therefore we're going to read now from page 104 and question 47 in the question and answer book. And the question comes, Brother Branham, could Satan use the gift of tongues or prophecy in a person who has the Holy Ghost? Now that's exactly what we got to find out. Because I want to know what's going on here. You want to know what's going on. You just can't believe that God's done something that's going to go haywire. Well, anything that God does can go haywire for a time being. That's for true, because that's redemption, Bob. But this is, we're watching something different here. He said, that's a good one, isn't it? Yes, sir. It must be watched very, very closely. If you notice in 1 Corinthians 14:29, you want to put it down? All right, we find out that any gift in the church has got to be judged first, see? You have to watch because evil spirits slip in. All right? That's why Brother Branham said before you can even have a proper getting together for the gifts to be in the separate room, you've got to have discerning of spirits. He said so. I didn't. He said so because the Bible said so. I agree 100% with it. Because remember, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. There could be people in there. Phony is a $3 bill and anointed by the same spirit. And then the spirit of the enemy can walk right in amongst them. Then where are you at? You better have something on your side. Because that set of gifts will put you right down the drain. You'll end up under judgment. Not rightness, but judgment. See? Now, same rain that sent to ripen the wheat ripens the weeds. In the same water. And I'm going to tell you something, brother sister. I've looked at those old weeds, and they tell me the tare looks much like the wheat till it gets bigger. I learned something the other day. I began pulling the little flowers aside to spread themselves out, and I see the weeds in there. So I nip the weeds, I pull the weeds right out, and they come out nice and easy, too. Usually they do, because the water's nice and the soil's moist and nice in there. Then there comes a time, though, when those weeds can't fool you, and they can't fool themselves, because then they got to push right up past the plant. Just what Satan did.
Amen.
See?
That's right.
Unmitigated, or rather unwitting authority taken by some, and somehow others take authority which they want to take. Well, I got a gift, haven't I, see? Now, ripened by the same water. How many knows that? Now that ought to clear the serpent seed you, then how this sun come. I'm trying to pick it out of here to get it before my time runs out. God has a law. On this law, the spirit of life, you have to watch because Satan slips in. Why does he say that in serpent seed? Because that's where Satan slipped in. He had a life. And he got the life into people. Through an animal. So how much spiritual smarts is the guy that's off on these things? He's not spiritual smart at all. Something wrong with him. Because the minute he hears the truth, he'd want to line up and get his life right. Now, and Paul, when something was revealed to somebody, it had to be at least two or three judges before it could be told before the church. I might bring this out. See, I don't think my brother's here tonight. Somebody made fun of somebody leaving the tabernacle. Went down to Junior Jackson for a church and said, they went down among the dead burns. Aren't you ashamed to make a remark like that? Whoever you are, if you're my children in Christ, I'm ashamed of you. Don't do a thing like that. Junior Jackson's my brother. Don Ruddle's my brother. Well, the reason of it, because when I set the church here in a certain order, when I come back to see if I could get the manifestation of the gifts, half of them pulled away from it. Now, the reason they said amongst the dead birds is because Junior didn't put his church in order, and everybody that wanted to talk on the floor and not talk according to the Word of God and set themselves in order went down to Junior's where they could stay in disorder. Now, that's the long and short of it. Now, because when you start to speak or preach or something, it was getting to such a place that you could hardly preach lest there was somebody spoke in tongues, somebody interpret, somebody give interpretation, and half it never even come to pass. Now, members speaking in tongues, I believe in interpretation, but it must be something directly to the church, not the Lord is coming soon or something which is all right. But don't use vain repetition, Jesus said, as heathens do. It must be something like go and tell brother so-and-so something to be done. Tell sister so-and-so when a certain thing she did the other day transgressed the law of her husband, the vow of her husband make her this right, or the Holy Ghost cut her off. There you've got thus saith the Lord. Now, in other words, you can see when it comes to the gifts being used right, you have a tremendous force within the church. But if they're not used right, it's just blah. It's just blah. See? Now, that brings sin in. And when a church, when we got a church like it was when Ananias and Sapphira come in other words, that's what we need to get to. Then we got a church to stand solid. Oh, Brother Branham, one guy told him that, said, well, you put us too much on the spot. I said, ain't I on the spot up here, the strangers I never saw in my life? Now, Brother Branham was using a tremendous gift as a prophet, and he said, my gift is on the spot, and so is yours. They're equal in that respect. And if you're not willing with your faith and your grace to stand up for a test, then why do you look at me? Now, he said, I do, so take a good look and fall in line. Oh, that's pretty good preaching.
Amen.
Of course, they didn't take it that way, that certain people. No. If I got faith and confidence in my God who sent me to do this, and never one time has it been wrong, and never will be as long as it's God. That's right. See what he said to the people? Okay. Now, speaking in tongues and things like that, I believe that those tongues and people that's got them gifts, if they're real genuine Christians interested in it, they'll meet themselves together and give their tongues interpretation, see what they can do to further the kingdom of God. They got a ministry of their own, but it don't belong here in the middle of the audience where the sinners are dealt with and so forth. The Bible said they'll say you're unlearned. Sometimes they get so reverent with it and so forth. Now, our gang hadn't. I let them go along for a while and I said, watch it. Now, I told the brethren, there's a witness here knows this, let alone, after a while, we'll find out whether it's of God or not. If it cannot stand chastisement, then it's a bastard child. What's a bastard child? The mingling of two lives of which are not supposed to be united. Where an Israelite man married a Gentile or a heathen woman, or a woman of Israel took a wrong man. No way. Neither can you take the things of God and unite them with the things of the enemy. So he tells you right there that there is something come in here where that child, that thing in the midst, is a hybridization. It's of God only in the extent that Eve could say, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Well, all laid down. But something is all scrupled up, as Brother Branham said. That's exactly what the Bible said. And when the chastener come, what happened? Did I tell you that long ago? Ask the pastor here. He said, what about this and that? I said, leave it alone. They're babies. We can't judge it, but watch when it really comes to pin down to the word. The word was what? Take it to the room and under advisement, and I will go with you. They would not go with him. I'm going to tell you another thing. I'll ask you a question, rather. Have they gone with him from that point on? Figure that one out. Now, Brother Junior Jackson has a right to disagree with that. Disagree with what? Putting the church order in according to the word and bringing forth a bastard child. He can have it. He's welcome to it. You say, that's not nice preaching. I never said it was nice preaching, but it's good preaching. Amen. Cauterization sometimes is very good. I won't add to that remark. The people all want to speak with tongues and things in the audience. That's Junior's trouble. Notice the word trouble. That's up to him. So that's where he's going to get a problem. But Junior Jackson believed this message as the rest of any of us does. He's one of us. And it's not a dead bird to go there. Junior Jackson, a man of God that I love with all my heart, and is not here tonight so I can really pour it on the way I want to. And Don Ruddle, I don't think, well, Don never did have that in his church. They got a church of their own. He mentioned certain names. Now, these brethren, like the rest of them, don't have to believe just like I do. Well, let's find out. Let's find out. What came the word of God out for you, came it unto you only. If any man thinks that he's beyond what I have to say, he's a good Christian, brother. Fine, he's saying the truth. Hallelujah. Is that what Paul said? Neither William Branham. Amen. Now look, if I went to the table and Junior got apple pie and I got cherry pie, Brother Wheaton Pie will agree to that. We both preach the same gospel. Paul, Reverend Bob Brown, had a good statement about Jesus giving the sop to Judas. He said, according to Josephus, the host always dipped the bread into the wine and gave it to the choice customers. Take it from there. You know, Peter and Paul, the difference is not in their doctrines. It's the way Peter's behaving himself. I accept that. Never separate them. I'd ask a question. What happened to Paul and Barnabas? Say, Brother V, argue the prophet. I'm going to argue the prophet. I'm just bringing up what he knows. We've talked many times. I know what he's saying, so do you. He wants one and not the other, period. And he excuses in love the men who don't go along. They're brethren. That's fine. Walk off. They'll walk off from you. Don't worry about it. We're going to have differences. Not differences. I disagree with the Assembly of God. I disagree with their systems. There's many Assembly of God man, a precious brother, disagree with one's doctrine. Many precious brethren there. Disagree with the Baptist, Presbyterian in their system, but in their genuine Christians. Somehow or another this afternoon I picked up a telephone. I missed it. Telegram, missed it. A brother Baptist preacher said, he would have been seeking for a long time to come to place or to get to place where men respected God instead of respecting one another. A precious brother said to this Baptist, I'll take you to such a place. He was longing to get here, Baptist. You see, they're scattered everywhere. I wouldn't agree with their system. I certainly love the party. So don't say that about brethren. Now in here, these gifts have got to be watched. Have to watch it. Satan can impersonate any gift. Look at the Beatles. They said healing occurs amongst us. But look, let's face it. Excitement can give way to faith any day of the week, psychology proves it. And you can wump up any crowd through excitement to come to faith where you get believing in God no matter what's going on and you can be healed. But brother, sister, this is different what we're talking about. Now, we've laid the two things out to hope that you can see this. Now, I want to go into this to try to bring out something. Now, the question comes, why was it that certain times Brother Branham condoned what went on in the meeting, such as a recent book published. I forget the name. In there you'll find where Brother Branham explains to the people in the full gospel business meeting that a message in tongues was given. And at the same time, two people rose to their feet and said two different things. And he said, look, he said, one was interpretation, the other was a prophecy. Now, concerning also the utterances that come forth, he did say this. He, as you know, we read it. He said it should be predicted. But in his own case, when he heard himself speaking in tongues, the interpretation was a rock in a weary land. So you got to put all these things together and just watch them. Another time he said, I do not believe it's interpretation or prophecy. It is merely anointed speaking. You can tell it doesn't belong in the church. He also said, if there's any place it just might happen, it would be at the end of a service when it's all over. That means just before they say, good night, God bless you. But not at the altar call. That's why the woman who was going to every single time had her message reserved that she already had prepared to give to Brother Branham was already sitting there for it. Just when the altar call came on, he said, woman, shut up and sit down. See? Now, the question may arise. Were the portions at one time that Brother Branham allowed, because he had to allow it. You understand? He said he had to. Leave it as there. What about that time? Well, the nicest compliment I can say is this. Yes, I believe it was an utterance from God. I believe that what was said concerning William Branham, that not necessarily eulogized him, but pointed him out to the people as to who he was in his ministry, and to what was forthcoming, I believe was legitimate in most cases, and was anointed utterance, neither interpretation nor prophecy. And I believe it was there for the specific purpose that one day it's going to come back to them that they said it and then denied it. For by your words you're justified and by your words you're condemned. What we see here in the one set of gifts that are predestinated, in contradistinction to the other set, we find are not to be compared with each other. For one has an ability that the other does not have in bringing to the church to where it is supposed to be, free from confusion and a strict alignment with Almighty God, who is the Word. Now, let's see what Paul saw here. And I hope this is not a long, hot Sunday. But I don't know. 14 and 35. Beginning. If they will learn anything, let them ask your husband in the home. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, women can speak in tongues and prophesy and everything else, see. But they got to do it under the strict order of the headship and the separate meeting. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now we've got right here that the word of the Lord comes from one person to everybody else, which is exactly how it came to Paul for the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 14:14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. The rest is unfruitful. I'll pray in the tongues, I'll pray in the spirit and so on, understanding, right down the line. And the purpose is verse 17, he verily giveth thanks, the other is not edified. Show me where there is something in Ephesians 4 that doesn't edify. There is something here that is questionable that might not edify, that might do the opposite. So you see, you can't compare them. There's got to be an absolute. 1 Corinthians 10th verse. There are, it may be, many kinds of voice in the world, and none of them without signification. Verse 8. The trumpet given a certain sound. Who should prepare to battle? Remember, at the end time, a trumpet sounds. All right. With that, we go to Revelation. The first chapter, 12th verse, John turned to see the voice. Brother Branham said he turned to see if it was scriptural. And sent in Revelation 2, and tried them to say they're apostles, and are not, and found them liars. They threw the word right back in their faces when they didn't say what Paul said. With it, we go to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And verses 14 to 17. I write not these things to shame you, my beloved sons. I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you got not many fathers. For I alone, in Christ Jesus, I begot you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you to be followers of me. All right. For this cause have I sent unto Timotheus, who is my beloved son, faithful in the Lord, who shall bring into your remembrance of my ways, which are in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, I said, I've taught Timothy exactly what he ought to know, and you listen to him, that's as good as listening to me. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and the 7th verse. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Here's a preacher, an apostle, a prophet, a teacher. The whole gamut. Now, notice, here then is a very great warning that he brings forth to us, as I read in 1 Corinthians 14, 36 and 37. Did the word of God come out of you, or did it come to you only? And if you're spiritual, you'll acknowledge that what I say is the word of God. Now, this brings us to what I mentioned over here in the book of Romans. The 12th chapter. Ministry, wait on your ministry. Teaching on teaching, exhorting on exhorting, ruling on ruling. That's a ministry that lines with the word. Not necessarily. Those brethren are part of the fivefold ministry. Some of those could absolutely qualify as elders, which are deacons apt to teach. Now, you will notice that they are in the same category as those who use gifts. As the gifts can lead people astray, ministers can lead people astray if they don't know the word. Now, if those with gifts, as in 1 Corinthians 12, will not line up to judgment as proper judging in that room, the church can go astray. And if a person gets into a pulpit, I don't care if it's me or anybody else here, and that pulpit is wide open because it's a pulpit, you don't need to believe for 1 minute that this pulpit is going to have absolute truth. There's only one absolute truth, and that's how the prophet brought it. And everything has got to be reconciled. Now, this brings me to a fact and to a thought. You people think I'm above judgment. You're absolutely wrong. This church is not set in order here to make me a pope or a dictator. That sure sounds like it. And that's to protect me as a person, because I'm sick and tired of people butting their noses in. That's all. People are trying to take over. Which, give them an inch, they'll take a mile. See? And this has happened it happens on occasions, and I have just safeguarded myself. But understand this. I have never said, and you know I have never said, that I'm infallible. I am not a prophet. I am not an authority. I believe that I am right. But you've got every right to come and talk with me. And you notice I am open to be talked to. And any man in this pulpit can be talked to. In plain English. If somebody else is here in this pulpit outside of me, which can certainly be. Brother Evans is the odd time, but not very often. Other men can come in. You have every right to question that person. Say, did I understand you? What were you aiming at? See? Not letting it go. As though you're doing somebody a favor. Now, it wasn't hard for somebody the other day. Was it Norman or Brian that spoke up when I got Cain instead of Abel? Well, if you're that fast on the trigger, you better be fast enough on the other thing. I'm not insulting you. I'm just very happy that you brought it. I was just catching, well, I hadn't caught that, but I caught others. Other times just before, a slip of the tongue. Brother Brandon keeps on saying Moses wrote 4 books. He's all Leviticus. One time, maybe something else, doesn't it? I thought there were 5. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He left the Leviticus. More than once. I caught him more than once. I said one day, Brother Branham, I said, you're getting as bad as me. So what do you mean? Well, I said, I left out this book, you left out that book. I said, join the crowd, join the club. That's a slip of the tongue. He said 700 instead of 7,000. Then the people tried to make something of it. If there is something there, check it out. A slip of the tongue or anything else. Now, certainly there are times I can't explain myself too perfectly. It wasn't until this morning I understood no man can call him Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Nobody understands it. I've aimed at it, I've breathed it. But to see it, that's why when he was in flesh, he was Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. God indwelt him. Sure, he made him both Lord and Christ at that time. There in the incarnation, he's Lord and Christ again in a combined form. But right now, he's Lord Jesus Christ. You get mixed up if you want. With your friends and relatives, or your church member friends, go ahead. See, I'm a hard hitter up here. I care less. I got to answer to God. And I'm on the line this morning, brother, sister. I was on the line last Sunday. I'm not off this word one iota as far as I know. Fam, you got to come and tell me. But don't sit back for anybody or anything. That's why everything is judged. Now, Brother Branham said, a prophet is not judged. How can you judge a prophet?
That's right, amen.
You say, what prophet? Not a fivefold minister prophet. You better believe that. But a such prophet of brilliant Branham stature, and Paul could not be judged. No way shaping for him. All right. Now, let's go back to Ephesians again. And begin to see the magnitude of this, and the magnanimity of Almighty God. Now he said this ministry that is sent in the church brings it to perfection. But watch. Now watch carefully. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of mine. Now come on. Come on. The church brought to a perfection by a ministry. A perfect bride of a spouse you to Christ. But he's got some feelings about you, girl. You're fooling around like Eve did. Oh, you think you can know something on your own. You think you can walk apart from me to espouse you. Why, he said, you Galatians, you'd have given your eyes for me at one time. Now he said, you take my eyes. Yeah. Oh, hail great Paul. I'm Paul. Give him the old raspberry. Oh, great when he went. Nuts to him. False doctrine. Oh, lovely Jesus. Let's check him out. Bring on the miracles. Hallelujah. But don't ever explain them. We'll do the explaining. Fact. That's like me earning the money you're spending. A drop dead. Drop dead. I'll spend my own money. Putting God in the spot for Satan. Forget it. Yeah. They couldn't take it. Now listen. Walk not in the vanity, vain, proud, having the understanding darkened. Now we're talking in Ephesians 1, 17, 18, 19. We'll get to that later. alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You don't. Because it's not grabbing you. It's not grabbing you. Nothing outside of this message has life. This is a conduit of the Holy Ghost. See, I got down here. You don't have life down there. Tell me why Paul said or William Branham. A couple of fat heavy U.S. Am I spending my time up here and around the country when I get someplace and putting my neck on the block all around, literally around the world, for a couple of dupes? Fap. I'm going to have no trouble with my own mistakes. Or taking on theirs. William Branham was no big mouth. He was a mouth. The mouth of God. A mouth to the bride. Understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God. They wouldn't know when they saw it. Because of blindness of the heart, the day star hadn't risen, but it's risen now. Jesus said, are you blind? They said, we see. He said, now you said, you see, you're blind. He said, you're finished. Goodbye. If you'd have just stood around and watched those works and say, hey, are they going someplace? I don't know. Oh, they stood back right now. I knew a guy from Canada, because that's where I'm from. And oh, he knew all about the gifts right now. Oh, yeah, he could tell you. Such foul, derailed, and hogwash about. He said, God gives severally to every person. And he said, you see, several means more than one, but not many more. So that'd be about three. The word several in the Greek and the Hebrew means individually. Like the king's several house. His individual little house. So here's a man who doesn't even know English. Trying to tell you the Bible's supposed to mean. They ran with what Brother Branham had and didn't know what to say about it. Now listen. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Sounds pretty rough, doesn't it? You say, Brother Bale, I believe when that happens, we're going right back from before the flood. That's Romans 1. That's exactly what it is, honey. Of course, Romans 2. I can't remember too much, but I tell you, I can let my fingers do the walking right now, and I'll tell you, it's Romans 1. Yeah. Don't need the yellow pages on that one. That's okay for the operator. Too many operators right now. But so you've not learned of Christ. Listen, if so be that you've heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus Christ. When did you hear him? When did you see him? When the prophet stood there. When Paul stood there. See, I'm telling you something, brothers. We don't even begin to appreciate the sobriety of this hour. I don't and you don't. That's why I just hauled off and hit you a while ago, because I can speak right from my heart. I'm in this thing deeper than anybody. Before he died, I knew him and this message like nobody did. Since he died, it could be anybody beat me to the racetrack on that one. I don't know it half as well as half most of the people ever, even people sitting in the pews. I'm going to tell you one thing. The sobriety is lacking everywhere. The solemnity is everywhere. They don't understand this and that. Pornograph brought into view before us. Proving who is here, and I don't care if he's been here for 6,000 years or 6 million years. He's here in a way he hasn't been here before. Always looking back and looking forward, never knowing what's going on, God is doing. But that's different. Now it says, you've heard him, and you've been taught by him, as the truth is, in Jesus Christ. Let me read you something the prophet said. Let me read it for you, because I want to read it, because it's good for you, because it's good for me. Now, where is it? That's a good question. Here it is, right here. It seemed to be so hard, you see. Not the Son of Man himself, but the seventh angel, the seventh messenger, is revealing to the public the Son of Man, because it's left the shuck. The wheat's out here. Amen. They're the only ones who sees the bridegroom. Listen, not notice the very day when this messenger, not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message. See, the first pole healing, second pole prophesying, third pole the opening of the word. The mysteries revealed. No more. There's no more higher order to reveal the word than the prophets.
And the only way the prophet can be vindicated is by the Word. And remember, the third pole was the opening of the seventh seal to reveal the hidden truth that has been sealed in the Word. Do you see it? It is then in that day when this thing is to take place, the Jannes and Jambres, impersonators will appear again like they did when Moses appeared with the original Word to say it. They appear to impersonate it just exactly right. Now, that's what Matthew 24:24 is all about. Do you see it? What's he do? He reveals the Son of Man. Now, here we are at this hour. Okay, with all this in mind, we wish to examine, if we can, the utterance. We have examined with this already, and we'll let it go at this point. The utterance as it came forth in Brother Branham's meanings. And that is this. Genuine gifts can be used when the devil slips in. And even a genuine gift does not necessarily have to be used. In other words, it could be completely the devil himself. As when Jesus was down there at the tombs of Gadara, I believe it was, and the devil began screaming, "We know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. Have you come to torment us?" As the little girl with the spirit of divination said, "These are servants of the Most High God." Now listen, they told the truth. Could it have been, in Brother Branham's meetings, that somebody came in there, devil possessed as the day is long, and said, "This is the great prophet, William Branham"? I don't know that that happened. But I'm going to ask you a question. Where did the Mormons get their revelation that William Branham would be the forerunner? How come that man, now this is not against the man, I'm not saying this is not a God, I'm not saying the Germans, I mean the Mormons didn't have a true spirit on them at that time too, they could be anointed too and false. But I'm just saying, is it possible? See, I just want you to know from the scripture certain things can come up and you don't say, "Well, this is God," until you judge it and know. And if you can't judge it and can't know, then you just draw back and say, "Well, hey, I'm not going to take that unless there's something in there that makes me to take it, because in here I've got enough from William Branham." But remember, a woman came to William Branham one day and Brother Branham heard that big buzz, that big blowflap buzzing around a bottle. And that was an evil spirit. And the woman said, she said, "You're born under a sign." And remember, in Pentecost, this could be real. The man came, he says, "What's the commotion?" He said, "I don't want anything, Brother Brown, just want to ask a question." He said, "What is it, sir?" He said, "How do you spell your name? With an H at the end?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Here's a piece of paper, I'm interested." He said, "Many, many years ago, it was said, just before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, William Branham, prophet of God, will come up and down these coasts in America." I just wanted to know if your name was H-A-M. Now listen, there are absolute, genuine messages that came in William Branham's meetings. But that's not the real thing. The real thing is the Word.
Amen.
The real thing is, and here's the real thing about it. In those messages, you'll notice, they had to testify to the man. Now, then when it's turned on, what happens? They'll meet it at the day of judgment. Why? They've got to fill up the cup of iniquity. And the final cup is crucifying to themselves the Son of God. And it's the Son of God, Holy Spirit, revealing the Son of Man through a prophet. I am not the pillar. The pillar of fire is not he, Son of Man. William Branham, prophet, said, "I am not the Son of Man." It's in the form of the Holy Spirit. It's that Spirit moving in me to bring it to you. There it is, appearing to the Gentiles. All right. Now, this was allowed as a witness. Let's go ahead and read over here in Matthew, the 12th chapter. Matthew 12. Well, I don't have to read it. You know about it. This is where they said he's the devil. This is where they said it's not a devil. This is just fine. And he said, "Okay, by your words you're justified and by your words not." Now then, if these gifts were used scripturally, there would have been utterances in believers' meetings testifying to the prophet as it did at the West Coast. Now you say, that might have been on the floor. It might have been. But had there been meetings put in order, as Brother Branham, we would have found a deeper testimony and a greater amount of the spiritual power we were looking for, rather than catastrophe, which we ran across so many times. All right. The third thing I want to deal with, our time's all but gone. I've dealt with this time after time, and that's Ephesians. The first chapter, verses 17 to 21. Beginning was verse 15, he said, "After I heard your love and your faith, your sincerity, all these things, is I do not cease to give thanks to him and mention you in my prayers, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, glory, give you a spirit of revelation and wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your heart being enlightened." Right over there. Enlightenment at a time
to bring on the resurrection, to bring us to perfection, a conclusion is taking us there. And here it is right here, the third time. Tell me a better portion. They're all good, but you know. Now he said the question. He said, am I the pillar of fire, the Son of Man? No, the pillar of fire is the anointing. He's telling you something. The pillar of fire is not God per se, but it has everything to do with God. Anointing, a smearing, an unguent, whereby we make a contact, a manifestation, a moving of the Spirit of God. Now, the pillar of fire is the Logos that went out of God. The Logos is actually the attribute of the fullness of God. When God became into a form to where it could be seen, that form was the anointing of the great Spirit that went forth. In other words, the moving out of it into a form could be seen. Condescending, coming down, God the Father, the Logos that was up over Israel. He was holy, could not bear sin, had to be a blood offering right in Eden. Then that Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. What's he telling us? God took on a different form. Another anointing. Art thou the Christ? Art thou the anointed? Art thou that anointing of God? Yes, I am. I'm the manifestation. I am here. He that sees me has seen the Father. Didn't you see the pillar of fire? Yeah, that was the Father. Yeah, look at me. I'm it. What more do you want? Oh, brother, what do they want? They want to kill him. Sure. And where this Logos dwelt in a human body, which was a sacrifice. Sacrifice. See, you can't sacrifice pillar of fire. You can't sacrifice rock, wind. Water won't do it. There's no blood. When man was made in the image of God, then God came down in the image of man to redeem man. And that brought man and God together. Heaven and earth hugged and kissed each other. God and man embraced each other as fatherhood and sonship. Now watch it. I and my Father are one. He that seen me has seen the Father. Not two, there's one. Why? Because Logos. See? Now listen. In the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos became flesh. It wasn't flesh in the beginning. It was the thing back there, the manifestation. Why he became visible. How he began doing things. It was all in there. Now, Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. God, Jesus said, I came from God and I go to God. Is that right? So it had to be if it became flesh. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. What else could it be? What would he have said? Well, he said, I really didn't come from God. It's a big joke. Why, they said, why, he said, if I don't let people know I'm the Son of God, I'm a liar like everybody else is out here. So he had to tell them. I came from God and I go to God. Is that right? Certainly. After death, burial, resurrection, ascension, when the body was taken up to sit at the right hand of God. Now notice, this is the body taken up. Now I don't mean God's got a right hand. God's Spirit. At the right hand means in power and authority of God. In that name, everything in heaven named after, subject to it. Everything in earth named after and subject to it. Name above every name, Jesus Christ. And made him both Lord and Christ. Now this Logos that was in him, which was the Spirit of God, the anointing, through the sanctifying grace of the blood, brought many sons to God, which is anointed the same Logos. That is a fantastic statement of theology, brother Sidney. A little Kentucky hillbilly, fap. He had them all backed off the map except Paul. And that would have been a draw. Same God.
Amen.
Same one that brought the word, reveal it. Now on the day of Pentecost, it came down. That pillar of fire broke apart like that, and tongues of fire sat upon each of them. Not their tongues of fire sat upon each of them. An elected, selected, identified group by this pillar of fire, showing that God had separated himself into men. You get it. God the Logos separating himself into men. God not in one person. He's in his church universal. That's the reason Jesus said, the works I do, she do more. Now I know the King James Version says greater, but the great right translation, more than this you'll do. God bottled and confined in one man, Jesus Christ, now bottled and confined the whole universal church living God. Say, ah, ha, ha, there it is. I beg your pardon. Scripture has compound meanings. One place Brother Branham puts this greater works all in the church by multiplicity, and the next time turns around puts it right in himself. Compound meaning, because of a compound difference in time. Just like in that day, I'm in the Father, you and me and I and you, three places at Pentecost in this hour in the white throne. And I think one more time he said too.
When the pillar of fire is above the throne, we're up there one more time. I think it's four times. So here you are, right away. You see, you can sit there, and because you're like me, you want to be so precise and so exact. Have I really caught? What you say? He said something else. There. He said them both. I brought my son out of Egypt. I brought my son out of Egypt. One was Jacob, one was Jesus. And Jacob never got up out of Egypt. He was dead. He brought all the kids of Jacob up out of Egypt. So now you got a compound within a compound. So he's telling you something here. Now listen, right now while he's God's here speaking in our hearts, he's in Africa, he's in Asia, he's in Europe. Where in the heart? Is that in my heart? No! A modicum. A microcosm. Is it over my head? No! Is he dealing face to face? No! What's in my heart? And if it's in here, whatever's out there, I'm going to have the illumination in my heart when the day starts to rise. And the prophet's here, and I'm going to get taken out of here. Because I'm coming more and more from the negative, which is a film, to the positive. Dull, black, old, muddy film. Get the proper thing on it, the proper workings, the proper chemicals, so to speak, the proper graces, and you come forth as a thing of beauty. Take an angle. Oh, boy, what a beautiful picture. Don't try that now, though. Let God do that. All right, now listen. After death, burial, ascension, and coming of the Holy Spirit, Paul, on his road down, which was Saul to Damascus, he was struck down by the pillar of fire of the Logos. Now, already Pentecost had taken place. Everybody getting something in the heart. Now, this fellow gets a face-to-face encounter. Not the same thing. Not the same thing, period. I'm sorry, same God, same person, but not the same thing.
Amen.
No way, shape, and form. See, that's why Paul could boast in Christ. And that Jew, that Jew never would have called that pillar of fire Lord unless he knew it was the same Logos his people followed the wilderness. See, now that was not the Son of Man, that was the Logos. Certainly. Not the Son of Man. It's not even manifesting at that time. Son of Man. You're looking at Son of God, a ministry. Why? Because he's making sons. If you go back to Son of Man, that's personal. We're not Son of Man, we're Son of A Man, Son of E Man. You're looking at a different office. A different thing entirely. Same God. Now we say this is reverence and love and respect, see, as Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13 and 8 is now not Mark 16. It's not, behold, I'm with you always. I'm filling each one of the Holy Ghost. That is not that. This is another meaning. And this meaning is what? Let's find out. Same as in Abraham. Also that in the last days, as it was before Lot's time, or Lot's time in Sodom, so it shall be in the day that the Son of Man reveals himself again, revealing himself. When did he reveal himself? You'll desire to see one of the days the Son of Man again, but you won't see it. It's down the road. So he's right back doing it again. He that has seen me has seen the Father. I and my Father are one. This is the whole thing. Here it is, here it is, here it is, here it is. Come ye, this is it. Back doing it again. Who to the Gentiles? That's Hebrews 13:8. Come on.
Right.
Come on, come on. Oh, listen. Sorry. I don't expect too big a reaction. Really, I talk to that way. Oh, I hope it's in your heart, brother, sister, because if you're not seeing what I'm seeing, I'm not going to give you private lessons. Get the tape and go over and over and over till something begins to happen to you. I'm not here to, I can't do anything for you, but I'll tell you, God can. See? Now, so shall it be in the last day the Son of Man reveals himself again, revealing himself. Now in this last day is the Logos that was up, this last day is the Logos that was upon Jesus, that's human being, which he has become from that back to the pillar of fire again. What's that? Not the body, that Jesus, the Jehovah that was in the body, has descended down on the earth. I was going to say something, wouldn't make any difference anyway, but I got to watch for the sake of the tapes and so on. People wouldn't believe it, but I'll admit that. But it's come down for like a
investigating judgment that goes on. Saucers. Saucers. Flying saucers, so to speak. Now, this great pillar of fire that's absolutely identified by scientific cameras, there it is, that's here on earth today. Where is it before? Get lighted, the Lord should descend with a shout. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout. The Lord himself. That's the Lord himself. Not the Lord that God had made Lord in Christ, but the Lord himself that made Jesus Lord in Christ. He descends with the voice, with a shout. Hath a prophet to tell us the seals. The message. My message, said William Branham. The man and the messenger one. Gathered unto Christ through the prophets. By the word. It couldn't do it in any other time but this time. So there it is. Now, science, this lens won't take psychology. You heard him say that. Then watch the works of it. What? The pillar of fire that came down. Elohim. It among us. Proves that Jesus, said the same Jesus that once lived in Palestine, the same spirit that was upon him, has come up through a body. How else? For 2,000 years, the one that was filling us, see, come down now, this coming up proves it's the same one. Headship. Don't let it boggle your mind. Just let it trickle and percolate around there. It's taken me 17, 18 years. Don't feel bad if it takes you 37. You're not going to have that long. I should know better and get through with this whole lot quicker, but I'm not that smart, so fine. God uses the exactly what you are and who you are and how you are. So that's the way it is. See? I'd come up through a body until it's come back to headship again, which he's coming soon to claim the body. One is already here. Another is coming. Oh, brother, sister. I'm going to tell you something, though. Without the Holy Ghost, you don't know the first thing I'm saying. I can tell you right now. You know the first thing I'm saying. You better get the Holy Ghost, brother, sister. If you're a child of God, you're missing something. You are not going to get what I'm going to get. You're going to say, oh, Vail, he got two gods. He got this, he got that. Yeah, Vail's got the Holy Ghost. He's got the real God. He's going to the rapture. You do what you want. You say, well, brother Vail, you look at yourself. I looked at myself and I puked. I gave up everything I had right there, threw up my boots. I don't look anymore. So you should take a look. Why should I? Looking at me ain't going to do no good. If the church was under law and they looked at themselves and died, and they're under a law, do you think I'm going to go back to law? Drop dead. You do what you want. But that's one thing this pulpit stands for. Nobody's going to tell me what to do and what to say up here. So I don't care what you think about me. That's your tough luck. That is my tough luck to a degree, too. I should smarten up and be nicer, but I don't know if that's in the cards or not. But she's coming soon to claim the body. Amen. The head's coming to the body. The head is coming to a body. We're not a spirit body. We're physical. The physical is not here. It's a spiritual union. The prophet explained it all. What more do people want? Well, we don't believe he came down. Well, the Bible said he came down. The prophet said, which is up? Don't answer that question. I think a lot of you are walking right on their flat heads myself. I want to know the truth. Well, he said, which is up? Nobody can prove which is up and which is down. You know what? He said it for a reason. So the spirit coming up or coming down, what does it matter about your word if you know that he is here and you know what is going on? Now, if all you know what is going on, he baptizes people, then you forgot the prophet said it runs out. Then what are you doing here if it's run out? You say, I don't know that it has. You're right, but what if it has? Now, what do you do if you're here and it does run out? Where do you go? These are things that people that believe this message so-called will not answer the question. I want it answered. Now listen, the head's come the body. You get it? That will be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the I Am, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Morning Star, everything of Almighty God, essentially who and what he is poured into a body.
Now that one, the body, is coming down. And when that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because you can't crown a spirit. And the Roman Catholic Church pretend as bride, and they crown the husband. And they said, well, the Pope is the husband. Well, I'm glad they got him. I think they deserve him. And the Protestants deserve one just like him or the same thing. I'm not interested. Just like the pyramid Enoch built. We find in that pyramid, never did get the headstone. Now, why? The headstone's yet to come. 7 steps. What's he talking about? He's talking about a pyramid which is physical. 3 times in the book of Ephesians. 3 times. The foreordained, predestinated, moving of the Holy Spirit, brought forth in a predestination, a predestinated church of people, who he uniquely cleansed through the blood, set aside perfectly through the Holy Spirit, marking them for the ages to come for his plan. At the same time, set them in a body uniquely equipped with gifts whereby that church may be brought to a perfection under the ministry of Almighty God. And they, like their Elohim parent, changing, 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 moving on. Because what was in his genes must be manifested in ours. We have a bad mix-up today. We got animal as well as human. That's the whole rotten mess. But let me tell you, brother, sister, when these bodies are changed, hallelujah, there isn't one bit of gene that's wrong, even in the physical. Although, praise be to God, at this moment, I believe through the redemption of the blood, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, our souls and our spirits don't have one gene that is not of God. It's just that we happen to have that little life mixture in there that's the podunk. That's the bad one. Because remember, God's got to give us a spirit that's allowed, but not necessarily his spirit, which is not. But there's something in there moving, moving. We already have a soul. That is true. The Spirit of God must come upon that. So we are in that mixture. We still got a problem. But when that day comes, when we're completely reborn as to the flesh, which we're in process now by the grace of God, the Word is forming around ourselves, this Word life. It surely is. There's no two ways about it. It's going to be proven one of these days because someone's going to get out of here. If we don't, somebody will. I'm with the prophet 100% on that. I'm looking for it. And brother, sister, when that's done, you won't have one bit of trouble from that time on. Yep, from that time on, there won't be one thing that's remiss. It's all gone completely back and within the perfect predestination of God. Now, under the blood, through the baptism with the Holy Ghost, at this end time, we have been declared, you are perfect, you're at rest, the righteous bride of Jesus Christ. Do what you want with it, brother, sister, and I would caution you and tell you this, believe it with all your heart, because you might think you're not, but you just might be. And there be some of us who think we are, and we might not be. But the point is this. There's not one of us knows. But God knows. He, remember, has the key. And the prophet warned us. He said, Abraham, he said, was a silver dollar. He said he was a silver dollar. He said, poor old Lot, he was just one of those coppers. But he said, thank God for the coppers. So therefore, there may be coppers in the coffers of God. And there may be silver dollars. That's the way it is. But, you know, God is more than able to do it work for us and to bring us forth. So I hope you understand now some things that may puzzle you and you may wonder about. Don't get carried away. Learn to stand back and watch. Look at both sides carefully. Take the word of Almighty God. If something is going awry or you think it is, don't be afraid to say, hey, let's look at this thing and bring it up. Remember, you don't do me a favor. You don't do anybody a favor by not asking the questions you need to know. And I'm not going to for 1 minute stand here and fool myself and let you get away with thinking you understand everything I say, because I don't even understand some things myself, but I've got to say them. I may never understand some things. That's right. I may never understand some things until we're over there. Maybe even then it'll be reign of mystery. I don't know. But there are certain things I believe that I cannot explain. There are certain things that I can say, but I cannot say them in the way that I can nail them down and say, hey, listen to me. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. Here it is. I can't do it. Because you see, faith is an intrinsic quality. Faith believes in what cannot be seen. Faith is a revelation. It's not easy, but thank God it is easy. Because you see, once you believe and you believe right, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe right. You got it, me? Huh? See? So that's why Brother Bann said, only believe. So how many this morning understand the sermon? They raised their hands everywhere. He said, Meade, he said, Bill, I couldn't raise my hand. Said, I wish I could have. Meade said, he began to cry, and he said, only believe. Only believe. He went out one time after saying the same thing. He turned to Billy Paul. He said, see all those hands raised? He said, not that many understood what I was saying. And he said, how many understand? That not believe, but how many understand? That was the word. Maybe I got that wrong. How many understand what I was saying? And then he said to me, he only believed. And to Billy Paul, he said, not that many understood. And that was over. I think the sermon was the anointed ones of the end time. You know, I knew that I understood that sermon. Because that was the, he had already talked with me. That's what turned me around to make me know what we know today. But I will say this, as you heard me say it before. I just thought I knew. I just thought I knew. I knew, yes, but I didn't know as I know now. Brother, sister, we're all coming on to a place, and let's get this understood. There's no way that you and I can see him face to face through the revelation of this hour, because the unveiling is going on right now. And the illumination in our heart, it's a heart condition, it's a love affair, it's a spiritual union. There is not one of us who, born again, does not know him better than we ever knew him. And there's something that is there that wasn't there before. Not on the grounds that it wasn't there in a form, but it's in a higher form than it ever was. For as Luther came out of the Catholics, it was the glory. As Wesley left the Lutherans, that was the glory. As Pentecost moved on, what about today? He's here. This glory shall never fade. Why? Because he cannot fade. See? This is that hour that Adam could stretch forth his hand. Just stand right there. Adam, you blew it. Well, all I did was sell the whole human race into bondage and murder and corruption and filth and sorrow and pain, lost and undone. Adam, stretch forth your hand to the tree of life. Come on, get your thinking on, brother, sister. It's not in your hands, it's God's hands. It's not how nice you are.
Amen.
And it's a good thing it's not how nice I am. For the rapture's over, I can say that right now. Everybody missed it. It's what he said.
Amen.
Sure, we ought to be nice people. Kind, considerate. Sure, don't, because I get up here and I, you know, I use a scatter gun. Don't worry too much. I look you in the eye and I say, I want certain things done. It's up to you to do them. I'm not going to come to your doors and beat in your door and tell you to do certain things. I've laid it out here before you. But old Evale's going to stand back and watch. And Evale's going to know things. Just like old Bill Branham knew things. I'm not a prophet. You're going to stand back and watch. See, I stuck my neck out. And when I stuck my neck out, that road began to take two forks. You began to take a fork on it. I've done it twice in 2 years. I'm not scaring anybody. I'm just letting you know, brother, sister. I'm not up here fooling. I'm not. God is my judge. I'm the worst maybe character under God's high heaven. No right even being up here as a person. But I'm not ashamed of my words. I'm not afraid for my words. I believe what I've said is the truth. I don't know that I've said the truth. I believe it is. But if I come to a place where I feel I've led you off, I'll come right around and tell you. I wouldn't have to tell you this morning what I've discovered in my heart and what the truth of certain scripture is. I'd go down the road rejoicing and say, I know something more than the people do. There isn't one thing I've ever kept back from you. I just want you to know that. Nothing ever comes, nothing the same way on the tapes. I know people get upset because my language is very, very rude, and I admit it's very rude. And I wish rude only meant uncultured in the sense that it wasn't polished. My language can be abject. That's a very good word. And I should reject my abject language, but I get so carried away at times, all I can do is just think of these hard, hard words. You just fling them out there because you get plumb disgusted. But I'll tell you what that disgust comes from. It doesn't come half as much from the people you think that I fuss at as it comes within me, because I know He is so wonderful and so pure and so marvelous. And the closer I get to look, it's the rottener and the lousiest I feel. Until if I thought that hell would hide me and dissolve me, I'd sooner go there now than wait for a rapture. But I don't have a thing to do with it. And He'll see us through. You bet He will. Let's rise at this time. No service Wednesday then, but Saturday night, you understand? We'll have a meeting, what, 7 o'clock? Communion foot washing. I don't think there'll be many visitors in. If they do come, they'll have to kind of take care of themselves, because we won't worry about anything for the weekend. But let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for what You are, the God of all grace and mercy. And when it's the God of all grace and all mercy, we know then that that is exactly true. And therefore, if we have any grace and any mercy, then it must come from You, or it is remiss. It is a false grace and a false mercy. And if we have any love in these things because it's shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, if we have something other than that and put in place, that that also then is a frivolous thing and is vanity. And so, Lord, we would sure like to come to that place that Brother Branham spoke of, to get plumb out of the way, to be completely sealed in, so that with all of this, these virtues and this which lies in You, Lord, and we weeding all these things out of us with Your help, O God, because we ain't getting anywhere by ourselves. If we could get something, Lord, and work this thing out so that You would be where the prophet said, then it's God in the vessel. Like the stature, that He called it a statue, which it would be of God. Lord, this statue of a perfect man, which is in the stature, manifesting, we want it, Lord. You know what I'm saying? And the prophet said it. And we're reconciled, Lord, to the understanding and the faith and the expectation of it. And the outworking of it, Lord, is in Your hands. And we know also the prophet said there was things that we were allowed to be in touch with because we would be in that program with You. There'd be certain things we'd be doing, like getting out of the way and weeding things out and even doing things that would necessarily take the skin off of us to make things right somehow, to just get things all guided up and get them right. Now, Lord, we know that these things are there. And we know that this does put a chill within us in many areas, knowing, say, well, oh my goodness me, what we do under this consideration? And we're knowing, Lord, that always under the consideration of Your word, there always has been a throne of mercy and not judgment. And this is where we know that there is something for us. So help us, Lord God, from this moment on to be as we have never been before in Your presence. And help us, Lord, now in any way, shape, and form. And we know You will help us, Lord. We might go a step further in saying, put us under such a complete burden, like the prophet was in a tube, that we would have to find ourselves in some kind of a tube also, not like his necessarily, but some kind of a tube, Lord, where we would come to the place where we just literally be caused to flow into this that we're supposed to be into by way of the purging and that which You want us to do, Lord, because we know that You're doing everything and You will not fail to do everything, but we could lack and miss some things rather than have the abundant entrance. And so, Father, we pray that we'll not be at all dissuaded from doing everything we possibly should do under Your light, because we know that we'll make it anyway, but we want the other. And so we pray, Father, that You will help us in this respect, and we'll give You the honor and the glory, because we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord richly bless you. Let's sing